Welcome to the Whole Career Podcast with Advent Health. I'm Brandon Strawn, and I'm joined by my co-host, Sky Kellogg.
Each episode features conversations with various healthcare professionals who will share their personal career journeys, insights, and perspectives on various healthcare careers. From nursing to technology to leadership, we'll cover a wide range of topics to help you stay informed and inspired.
Whether you're just starting out in your healthcare career, looking to pivot, or a seasoned professional looking to take the next step, this podcast is for you. We hope to empower you with the knowledge and the tools needed to make a positive impact in your field. At Advent Health, we believe that we are greater as a whole, and we invite you to join us on this journey as we explore the world of healthcare careers together. Welcome back to the Whole Career Podcast. We are here with Ryan Quattlebaum. He is president and CEO of Advent Health North Pinellas. How are you doing today, Ryan?
I'm doing fantastic, Brandon. How are you?
I'm blessed. Thank you for joining us on the Whole Career Podcast today. I wanted you to just go ahead and take a second to just introduce yourself and let the audience know, what you do in, a short summary, if you'd like.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first off, I'm happy to be here at Advent Health North Pinellas in Tarpon Springs. So you're making me feel right at home. So I appreciate that. If you can't see, because you're listening to a podcast, Brandon's got the background that looks like I'm sitting in his living room, so it's very comfortable. Feel comfortable already. So I have the privilege of serving as the president and CEO at Advent Health North Pinellas, located in Tarpon Springs. The hospital itself has been here for almost years, so it has a rich history, and has not always been a part of the Advent Health family. We joined in 2010. So I have the privilege to lead this team and be a part of this community. Prior to my time here at North Pinellas, I was the chief financial officer at Advent Health Wesley Chapel. I was there right at the beginning of COVID and started in January of 2020. But got my healthcare career and start at Adventist Health on the West Coast, in various levels of the organization, and actually started in the dish room at a hospital in Paradise, California, Feather River Hospital. So have worked and been a part of the organization and sister organizations for a long time, but really appreciate the work we do here supporting Tarpon Springs and the patients that are in our community.
Wonderful. Thank you, Ryan. And we will definitely dive deeper into where you started, because that is obviously going to be so insightful for those listening or watching the Whole Career Podcast today. But you, Ryan, as a CEO and president of a facility, the title CEO can be vague to some, not understanding totally what that is. So according to Indeed, a CEO is a chief executive officer that governs strategic direction of an organization by making top level managerial decisions. So you're seeking opinions from C-level officers, directors, managers within the organization, and depending on their strategic direction as well. So how accurate is that based on your experience as the CEO there at North Pinellas?
Yeah. Wow, that's a lot. And Indeed definitely has a definition for it. I think here's my view of president and CEO and the title there, it's a great question, because my mom, as an example, my mom Nancy, hello if she's listening, she was actually for 42 years, and she says all the time, "I don't know what you do. I still don't understand what you do." And the minute I stopped trying to explain it and just said, "Mom, I have conversations with people. I help make decisions, but it's even more basic than that." I think ultimately it is a position of leadership that has the opportunity to influence people and organizations for the improvement of whatever it is. And in this case, it's the improvement of healthcare in Tarpon Springs and in the North Pinellas community. And what I get the privilege of doing is working with team members that really embrace that every single day. And so these are people that come from varied paths and varied professions and varied expertise. And ultimately, we lock arms together and say, how do we solve problems? And how do we get things done? Whether it's recruiting physicians, whether it's growing key service lines, whether it's opening new operating rooms, or whether it's solving problems that ultimately make it easier for patients to get access to care. That really is a lot of my work and my job. And what I'm blessed is to be able to do it with a lot of people that that I get to do it with, which is what makes the job fun. Honestly, the work is interesting, but the people are what make it special and what are the differentiating factors, at least for me.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Ryan. I think that's so helpful to lay that out and to give our listeners an idea of what that role looks like for you.
Absolutely. And I heard the word fun and CEO in the same sentence. So automatically I am already just surprised and shocked, but seriously, that's amazing to hear that this is still fun for you, right? You've been in the healthcare industry for some time now, and it's still fun. So I want to ask, what does, you know, 5-year old Ryan, or maybe, you know, a 10-year old Ryan, when he was asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? What was the answer to that question? I'm not certain it was CEO.
Brandon, that is a great question, because 5-year-old Ryan definitely didn't know what a CEO was, and 10-year-old Ryan probably thought he knew, but was probably way off from what it really is. You know, I think if you were to go back and think of what I originally wanted to do, I've always had an entrepreneurial streak and have always been business oriented. So actually going way back, and wasn't planning on talking about this. When I was in fourth, I really liked, I really wanted to earn some extra money. And so my dad said, well, how are you going to do it? And I said, you know what, I'm going to start a lawn mowing business. And so that summer I printed out flyers and delivered it to everyone in the neighborhood and everyone around me. And I mowed lawns that summer. And I learned very quickly, it was a lot of work. It was, I probably definitely worked more than I actually got paid to start up, and what it takes to really get the work done. Because I think it's, you know, design something that we want to do, but the work that we do here in healthcare is at the bedside. It's where the patient is. It's in the operating room. And so I think all those experiences taught me a lot, for one, because even today, you know, I think about my 8-year-old daughter, and she knows I'm a CEO, but she doesn't have any concept of what that means. And so for me, to come back to your earlier point, Brandon, it is fun, because what makes it fun is the people. And that's not to say that there aren't challenges and there aren't difficult, crucial conversations or difficult decisions. Ultimately, it's good work, and it has a big impact, impactful in the way that ultimately patients that are in North Pinellas County will receive care as a result of the decisions I work with ultimately make. So, being the convener of that group and helping lead and make decisions is something that that's the part that's really fun.
And Ryan, I know you started going back to the beginning, way back, like you said, further than we probably planned on speaking about today. But I love that was your mindset at such an early age, and I'm sure that will resonate with some of our listeners as well. But I want to start at the beginning of your career in specific to the words that you shared with us, that you were an immature kid working in a dish room of an Advent Health in Paradise, California. And how did you find this role? How is this where everything started for you?
Yeah. So I think it starts with a word that probably executives don't use enough, which is luck, because I think it's easy to say that you know, we did this on our own merit, and it becomes an idealistic form of saying we picked ourselves up by our bootstraps. But for me, it was luck in the sense that my father worked in healthcare administration. He was a director of the home care division or the department at the hospital where I grew up. And so he had a conversation with the nutritional services director and basically said, you have opening, why don't you interview my son? And at the time I was 17 and I was actually working at McDonald's. And so I said, I'd love to work at the hospital. It'd be a great place to work and to learn and to be a part of it. But I was immature in the sense that I would be the king of the dish room right away, and learned very quickly that was not the case, and had to learn my way around navigating patient trays and nursing floors and working side by side with people that ultimately were all more senior than I was. And so as a high school student, of course, you have everything figured out. You have the world figured out. And those become humbling experiences that you can relate back to and be grateful for, because they taught you something along the way. Because those nurses on the floor there, you know, they just kind of pat me on the head and said, you know, this is what you need to do. Really helped me along the way. So I was very fortunate enough that that I had the in, because not everyone has that. But I think what I did with that was really cultivate relationships at the hospital when I was there. So I was fortunate enough to get in. What I did do, I had to talk to everybody. So when the CEO, when the CFO, when the CNO, when all of them came through, I talked to them. And actually the CFO there, I built up a really good relationship with him, because I would work late at night cleaning dishes and picking up trays, and he would be coming late at night from meetings. And so one night he came through, and I was telling him about kind of what I was thinking about doing. I was thinking about going to business school, and he said, you know, why don't you come by my office and talk to me? And so as a 18 senior in high school, it was awesome to get the opportunity to go and sit with the CFO and ask him what he thought and what he did to get to where he was. And he actually took the same path, where he started in the dish room and grew to be a CFO and ultimately became a regional vice president in California. And he just sat me down and said, you know what, when you go to school, think about doing the work in college that might be more difficult and might be more challenging, but will give you opportunities that you didn't otherwise have. And great guidance that I would pass on to anyone is, if something's hard, it's probably worth doing, because it'll differentiate you and it will demonstrate that you do have the ability and capacity to do challenging things and do new things. So that was something that picked up along the way.
That's an amazing story. And I just want to provide a couple of points for our audience. One is that, you know, he mentions he was lucky, right? And I have recently been reading the book, The Outliers. And, you know, it talks about that a bit, just, you know, being in the right place at the right time, right? And that could be being the right place at the right time in history, right? As far as, you know, if you were coming up in the age of technology, right? And you're Bill Gates and you're these guys who are learning these computers and have the opportunity. But then also seizing that lucky opportunity, right? You made sure to be intentional about seizing that opportunity and getting the most out of it. And then the last point here would just be, if you are a student right now, you know, freshman in college or in college, right, and not waiting till your senior year to kind of make those connections and build those different build your network. Right. So I think, you know, and me especially recruiting students from our heritage universities, and to start making those connections. And they think that first connection needs to be, you know, in a high level position. Right. It could be a connection you make from a position of a dish room worker. And so I just wanted to highlight that. It was an amazing, beautiful story. But I wanted to go into kind of the next piece, which is, what are your weekly tasks? What are your daily tasks and even monthly tasks as a CEO?
Great question. You know, just to come back to your earlier point, because I thought it was important about the work, you know, my grandma used to tell me, if you want God to help you move mountains, be ready to wake up next to a shovel. So it does come with the work too. But there are elements that that play into it, like luck. I love that book, Outliers, by the way. That was just a fantastic book. So that's a great plug. The coming back to the daily, weekly, and monthly tasks. So for me, it really is varied. And what I've learned is the different levels of the organization you're in, your daily, weekly, and monthly work will be very different. And different in the sense that a lot of different tasks or meetings and objectives to juggle. And as an example, my daily task started this morning at 7:30, having a breakfast with a medical executive committee member, a physician, talking through our physician engagement scores. But that is put into a larger context of what it is we're trying to achieve, which is really move the dial on physician engagement, because every physician that's here at the hospital, we want them to be engaged because they'll provide better quality of care. And so by taking the time to meet with each of them individually, you get a holistic picture on what is it that we as a hospital need to tackle and need to achieve in order to have them want to refer patients to the hospital. And so the weekly tasks, you could chalk it down to meetings and email, but it's so much more than that, because it really is getting into the meat and potatoes of connecting with people that ultimately can influence change for the better. I'll give another example. Monthly, we hold a leadership meeting. And so me and the other executives here at the hospital, Dr. Jen Seeger, our CNO, Dr. Mike Longley, our CMO, Dan Crunk, our CFO, we get up in front of leadership and we talk about what we're doing well and what we need to improve on. And so the monthly task there is, all right, how do you inspire and engage people? And so the specific task might be one thing, but how you do it and the execution is really what's sometimes the work in front. And it's differed from, you know, when I first started, because when I first started, I was a CPA, and so the goal and objective was audit a company's financial statements, and the tasks were very different from what we do today. But what it did provide is a framework for organization and for being structured and accomplishing tasks. The other thing that is probably more relevant now, but hopefully anyone listening would benefit from, is taking time specifically to work on self. The Advent Health framework for leadership is lead self, lead others, lead results. And that lead self part really comes with the learnings that you do as an individual. So as an example, I finished my MBA from the University of Florida in April of last year. Go Gators, have to throw that out there. And after I finished my MBA, it becomes a matter of saying, okay, well, what's the next thing? And that's the best part, because the next part of learning is, okay, what is it I need to learn? So reading different books from different authors, from different perspectives. My daily devotional that I do every morning is a daily task, but without it, I have the centered presence to be effective in leading the team. And so the daily tasks will change based on whatever seat that you're in, but keeping those core elements of yourself are probably what's more important to be effective.
Thank you, Ryan. And Ryan, I have to say, you really must have an incredible family and the way that they've spoken into you and shared such knowledge, because we now get to benefit from all of that. So thank you for sharing those things. And Ryan, I know, you know, you gave us an overview of some tasks, some what day-to-day looks like, and you come across very calm and collected. And I think your presence in general fosters community well. I can tell that right off the bat from you. So when you come into these times when there's hard decisions that had to be made, how do you internally handle that and come across as calm, even when things might be really difficult? And what's an example of a difficult decision that you've had to make during your time as CEO?
Yeah, I'll give actually a good example of a difficult decision. And I'm glad I come across as calm. I'd love for the team to hear that. So hopefully they listen to this later, that because then they'll know that I was calm at a point in time. I've been called Tigger and the Energizer Bunny. So I need to project calm to kind of tamp down the energy levels. I think a really tough decision we had to make about a year ago was we had a group of physicians that had been servicing the community for a long time, and they elected to come off the call schedule, which means they would no longer be affiliated with the hospital. And at the same time, we had an individual that we had recruited here that volunteered and said he would pick up the slack and cover call and be the only one. And it was a very difficult decision that we had to make to say to part ways with that other group, because they had been with the hospital for so long. And ultimately, it was the right decision for them. It was the right decision for us, because we really had to double down on our strategy and on saying, you know what, this is what we're going to commit to. And so finding that point of clarity was just so important for us. It wasn't just a me decision. It was, you know, we engaged our board, our MEC, which stands for our medical executive committee, our board of directors, a wide range of individuals to make that decision. But going through it, it's a helpful exercise, because then you know that you're making the right decision because you've included a much broader group to gain consensus. And so I think the process, while difficult, it's ultimately fruitful and was the right decision for us. And where I think what gets lost is that takes time. Right? Because it takes time to meet with all those different stakeholders to say, this is what do you think? And engaging in dialogue and soliciting feedback and getting information. And sometimes the feedback, by the way, isn't the feedback that you want. Because when you do ask for feedback, you got to get ready for the other side of that coin. But ultimately, it makes you better. And you know, I think the thing that's ultimately the role of the CEO is this decision when people maybe are on the fray and say, I don't agree with that, and say, this is what we have to do, because as an organization, this is what's required. And so how you balance that line, I think is the finesse of the work, but also, is the part that's fun, because you can do it as a team. And when you do it as a team, and it works well, then, everybody wins.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So you talked about your journey, or the beginning of your journey as a dishwasher. Can we fast forward a little bit to you graduate from college and kind of start at that point and kind of sharing, you know, the trajectory, from that point, and how you were able to move from, you know, one position to the next, and then eventually to, you know, CEO of Abbott Health.
Sure. I had the benefit of interning as well at Advent Health when it was Florida Hospital. So I interned at Florida Hospital Orlando, and I need to go back there because it's important. And I remember in the internship, everyone that we met with that was in a senior finance position worked as an auditor previously. I remember Terry Shaw started as an auditor. He had done some work at EY. Eddie Soler had been an auditor with the General Conference. Paul Rathman, who I believe when I was an intern was the SVP of finance, started in audit. So for me, it was, all right, that is the direction I need to go. I'm going to start in the audit world, because it gives you a broad range of views and perspectives. So that was where I focused my energy and attention, which included being a CPA and going down the CPA track, which I drug my feet the entire way because I did not want to take the CPA exam, because it, it's um, it, it's a very difficult exam and takes a lot of time, effort, and energy. And when I committed to it, I went all in and was fortunate enough to pass with a lot of work. But I never saw myself as a CPA, and maybe that's why gravitated to being a CEO, because I was a bad CPA. But it gave me great tools to stay organized and to learn along the way. Because when you're in the audit world, you're learning something literally every single day, and talking to different people with different paths, with different pathways and different backgrounds. And so that really set the stage for me to get into a role that was finance driven, was the audit track, being a CPA. But that started with what I saw, which was just other people that had this experience. And I remember sitting with them and then telling me about their experience. And it's just, I just thought that sounds like something I would want to do as well.
And Ryan, when you filled out our form, I just want to preface this, you shared with us that you had made a lot of mistakes along the way, even though your trajectory is an incredible one. Throughout your career, there were setbacks and challenges you had to overcome. So would you mind sharing with our audience what your biggest challenge or setback was, and then what you did to overcome that to get where you are today?
Yeah. You know, I think all these setbacks, and, you know, it definitely connects with fail fast, because the faster you the quicker you can course correct. So as an example, one of the things we did when I was in California was I actually helped set up an anesthesia group. And it was a group that, just a little more context. This hospital had been around for 50 years and had never had a single group. It had individual physicians that practiced individually. And so it was not a long-term sustainable model. So we needed to get a group somehow. And when we formed the group, we went with a partner. I say we, it was me and others, but ultimately I was the one that helped broker the deal and move it forward. We got this anesthesia group that we probably shouldn't have trusted maybe the whole way, because you put your trust in a group that they're going to be able to manage it effectively. And ultimately they didn't manage it effectively. And then at that point, if you don't have a contingency or plan B, you gamble and figure it out. And what I learned from that circumstance was really a lot of this work that we do comes down to trust. And who do you trust, and who do you put your interests in? Because you have to do it as a team, because you may fail as a result of the work from someone else. And so picking that right partner is critical to the success, which is why the team here is so amazing, because we trust each other infinitely, because we do things well and we work well. But I would encourage anyone to find those failures and to reflect on them, because ultimately you can learn something from them that will help you course correct and do better in the future.
That's amazing. And I think that the word I found throughout that was course correct, right? And so making sure that, right, you're failing fast, but then you're taking that time to reflect and then course correct, which a lot of times that does require you to do the work, but then it also requires you to have that self-awareness to really say, like, okay, here's what I did wrong. And it is not a great feeling. And so I think, like you said earlier, like leaning into that, that feeling of knowing that, yes, I failed, and it doesn't feel good, but I have the opportunity to course correct. And then of course, not waiting too long to course correct as well. I think timing is also one of the areas that should be managed as well. And so I wanted to ask, we touched on what led you to pursue your master's, right? Because from my knowledge, you finished that this year, or well, last year, so 2023. So, right, you have already really done quite a bit of upward mobility within, you know, the healthcare industry. And so what led you to really say, you know what, I need to add this master's to my tool belt?
Transparently, I had shied away from my master's for a long time, because for that reason. And because I maybe thought ignorantly that I didn't need it or that upward mobility wasn't necessary. So what I'd encourage anybody to do in any whoever's listening is to pursue the advanced degrees, because you're learning along the way and you're going to do it in a focused way. So for me, it really was having conversations with those that were in my circle of influence and people that I reported to that encouraged me to do it. And what held me back always is the balance of time, because I'm a father to two young girls, Sophia and Emily. Hi, if you're listening. And my wonderful wife, Christina. And taking away time from them was the challenge. And what I ultimately was encouraged by was, and this is what's great about Advent Health, is they provided the time and space for me to ultimately pursue that and to obtain my master's. And that wasn't easy either. You know, obviously to Gainesville on weekends and to take time to do that. But ultimately it benefited me in a very meaningful way and developed some great relationships along the way. But I have to give kudos to Eric Wangsness, to Bruce Burgum, to Jennifer Wanderslaven for really encouraging me on this path, and providing the space to be able to do it, because it does take time, but I'd encourage anybody to do it. It'll be worth it.
And Ryan, I want to touch on something you just mentioned, because I think this is so important to working parents, you know, out in any field. Sometimes they feel like they can't pursue something because of that time taken away. But how is that something that you worked out with your family, and how would you use that to encourage others to balance that time and find it, so ultimately everyone wins in the end? Because I think a lot of the times we don't always talk about the challenge, right, that it is to have a family and be a leader and an executive such as yourself. So I'd love to touch on that if you're willing.
Absolutely. And this is why I'm the luckiest person, because I have a wife that's so supportive through this. So my wife should be maybe one of the ones that gets interviewed for this, because she picked up a lot of slack at home while I was, as she describes it, off gallivanting in Gainesville. And you maybe can strike that one, or maybe not. Maybe it'll sound good. She definitely picked up a lot of slack, because, you know, my daughter's 8 and 3. So they were really at that crucial age. And so she did a lot of bedtime. She put them to bed a lot during that time period. And so I am beyond blessed to have a partner that said that they'd be willing to pick up that slack. And the lesson that I think in there too is just having conversations with whomever you're with to say, can you help me with this? I think far too often we just try and tough it out ourselves and just think that that's the way it has to be, when the real way is there's an entire circle of influence that we have around us, sometimes that we don't even know about, that are willing to lean in and help. And so this is where, from my perspective, Advent Health is a differentiator, because we do have these different pathways to be able to open up to other individuals from varying backgrounds, where I've seen single parents, where we've been able to make accommodations for team members, or where we've had opportunities for people that may have otherwise not have that. So to me, it... the benefit was really my partner in crime, who is my wife and the person that I am blessed to have as my wife for the last 12 years.
That was an amazing story, and I think the reason I especially love that story is how much Advent Health sees the whole person, right? And I know that is our, you know, that's our branding, right? But I also think that these are the stories that bring that branding to life, right? And so all of the spouses out there, you know, or
partners, who are encouraging, who are supportive. Here we have someone who is a CEO who understands how to manage time, how to be organized, and still reaches out to help, right? And understands, okay, I need to let someone know that I need assistance. And so thinking that you can do it alone, right, is definitely something that we want people to refrain from. And I guess I wanted to ask, with all the knowledge that you had prior, right, in the positions that you were in, so CFO, and then as an auditor, right, a CPA, and then CEO, with all that knowledge that you had, what is something new that you learned from, you know, your MBA program?
Great, Brandon, great question. You know, I think probably the thing that I learned the most, and you just hit on it, actually, was about the whole tagline. It really is how important the brand is that we stand behind, and really what a brand means. So one of the things that was probably one of my favorite projects in my MBA was we did a brand assessment, and our team picked Harley Davidson as a brand to assess. And if you're like me, you have a stereotype in your head of what a Harley Davidson rider is. And that was completely shattered through this process, but it highlighted the importance of what the brand really stood for. So I envisioned a Harley Davidson rider as someone with a big beard and tattoos, and you know, maybe had a you know, one of those bandanas, and you know, rode fiercely through the, you know, the Southwest on a Harley Davidson. And what I got was just a varied degree of people that were Harley riders. And it was everyone from physicians I worked with to bankers to I had the opportunity to actually go to the Harley dealership, and I literally went and talked to everyone in the store, people that were patrons, people that were working in the back, the general manager, talked with the regional vice president, just to gain a perspective on what does it mean to be, what does Harley Davidson mean to you? It just got me in all sorts of very interesting conversations where people would describe these experiences they had riding on a motorcycle and being free and being empowered. And it gets the essence of what it is that Harley Davidson stands for. And so this isn't intended to be a Harley Davidson plug, by the way. For me, the importance for the Advent Health brand really connected with me, because feeling whole really means gaining alignment with who I am as a person and what it is that we want to do in the communities that we ultimately serve. And so it was really a fun experience to say, all right, how do we take that essence, because it's so intangible, and how do we make that actionable in the community that we serve? And so a great example is this, this past weekend was January 6th, and it was the day of Epiphany here in Tarpon Springs. And the day of Epiphany is very big in the Greek community. The day of Epiphany is a day of celebration. In the Greek Orthodox Church, it's believed that this is the day that Jesus was named the Son of Man. And so the largest Epiphany celebration in the Western Hemisphere is held right here in Tarpon Springs. A couple thousand people show up, news crews show up, people from all over the world come to participate. They fly in the bishop from New York City. And so it is just this enormous event. And Advent Health is there as a representative of the healthcare community to support them. And some people saw our brand there and were recognized that we were a part of Tarpon Springs and the community, because to me, feeling whole means that we're there to meet people's spiritual needs wherever they're at, of every faith and every denomination, whether they have a Greek Orthodox background or and everything in between. And so the essence of the brand there was us into the community, being a part of it. which it was a great event and a great thing to be a part of.
Ryan, thank you for sharing that. I think that that really leads me into what I wanted to talk to you about next, because I'm not really sure we've broken this down for our listeners before, but Advent Health, being a faith-based nonprofit healthcare organization, does make us unique. And we really want to explain what that means. So if you could talk about what the difference is between a nonprofit versus for-profit hospital system, and what are some of those advantages of being a nonprofit?
For-profit just means that we don't distribute profits to shareholders, and it for-profit means that they do. And so we have competitors here in our area that will remain nameless, but that do have shareholders, and they also have the distinct desire to care for patients. So we're all here for the same reason, right? We wanna take care of sick people, and just the difference is where do those excess funds go to? And in the case of non-for-profit hospitals, those profits go either back to repair the building, to grow new services, to the community. It doesn't go back to shareholders, and shareholders being investors that are, you know, getting from that. And to me, that's where in the work that we do, because we're able to take that good work that we do and give it back in a way that is going to be much more lasting, in my opinion. And I give Terry Shaw a lot of credit. He at one of our CEO meetings, he brought up this concept of stewardship. And when you're a steward, you have actually a greater sense of responsibility than if you're an owner. Because if you're an owner, you can grow and do with the business as you like. But that includes doing things that will ultimately take it into an decision or to destroy it ultimately, because you have that right as an owner. But as a steward, we don't have that responsibility. We have a higher responsibility, because I need to make sure that the hospital is here, not just for this year, but for next year and for 100 years from now. So it really is thinking much longer term and much more intentionally, so that we can care for the patients in our community that is in a way that is in alignment with our values. So that's really what the not-for-profit stands for. And we do things as a result of having that that benefit of being a non-for-profit. So we do give back in the way of charity care in our communities. And we do give back in ways in the community. One thing we did actually in July was we have a program here called the Centers and Alliance for Progress. And they had a health screening for elementary students that were needy, that otherwise would either get it from the federally qualified health center or wouldn't get it at all. And this was a requirement for school. And we sent over several of our doctors and several of our nurses to help screen 800 kids as they were getting ready to go back to school. So being that type of outreach in the community as a nonprofit is something that differentiates us from being a for-profit.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you for breaking that down for our listeners. And I wanted to ask, I guess this will be kind of like a two or three part question, but one, I wanted to say, I have seen that a lot of CEOs have some type of financial, whether they were a CFO prior or some type of financial background. They studied finance, you know, for their bachelor's. And I'm saying that because part of my job with Advent Health right now is to go to our universities and to hire interns for the summer. And we have them going into business finance, business management. And a lot of those that want to become a CEO or CFO one day, right? And so I think I wanted to ask, I guess first question is it extremely important for a CEO to have a vast knowledge of finance? And, you know, what level of finances do they have to know in order to be in that CEO role?
Yeah, great question. I think for the importance, I think it's just good to know the general basics. I don't think there's anything that can't be gained from a basic finance class that would be a requirement. As an example, some of the most astute business folks that I work with are nurses, are physical therapists, are come from different backgrounds, engineers. So it might not be necessary to have that deep, detailed knowledge, but just knowing what matters and what's important and what's the key drivers, right? Because that's what's probably more important, is just understanding those levers that are at our disposal to be able to influence change for the benefit of the organization. And so I've run into people that really run the gambit that have knowledge. It's always good to have the baseline knowledge. I don't think is necessarily a requirement. So that's what I'd say. Some of the best CEOs that I've interacted with are nurses, physicians, others that have varied backgrounds. So the diversity of the skill set and the diversity of the people is really what makes a difference. I have to at least give a plug here. When I was a CFO at Wesley Chapel, we stood up what was called a NICU Light program at the hospital. And I worked with Dr. Raj Wadhavan, who is the CEO at the Children's and Women's Hospital in Orlando. And I'll never forget, I was in my office one day, and we had worked out the arrangement and the deal for him to be able to help cover and for his group to cover. But I figured that it would be, other people that he would bring in and hire and recruit. And one day I'm standing there, and he's standing there in scrubs, and he goes, "Hey, Ryan." And I go, "Raj, what are you doing over here?" And he was actually covering and rounding on patients, and he would describe it. And it blew me away how he's a physician. He's the CEO at this Women and Children's Hospital, but he's still so connected to the work that's going on. And he understands that, sometimes I need to put on the scrubs and put on the white coat and lean into this in order to meet the objectives of the organization. And in that case, it was helping us cover patients. So, to me, the deep finance knowledge isn't necessarily the requirement. What's required is to be the leader that's willing to lean into the situations that are needed and to do the work that is required. And sometimes that's only the work that you can do. So I had Raj a huge for that.
As we wrap up our time here together, Ryan, it's been so insightful. And I really want to get one last piece of information from you for us and for our listeners. As you talked about defining moments, you shared with us as an accumulation of the daily habits that build over time and contribute to a larger set of skills that prepare people for a next step. So could you talk about what a defining moment is for you, and what are some of the examples that you can highlight throughout your career that have really made the biggest impact for you today?
Sure. Yeah, I am a big believer, though, in it's the habits, right? The habits play into the larger whole. And, I think that the situations that you experience really lead you into the next step that prepare you for whatever it is, whatever challenge it is. And so I grew up in Northern California, as I had said, and I was a CFO at a hospital there. And when I was the CFO at that hospital, it was always in a potential fire zone. And when I say always, I mean, when it was fire season and it was dry, you would have to pick up and potentially move to the hospital at any given point in time. So when I came to Florida and I saw a hurricane, we know 3 days in advance, like, wow, we have some real time to plan. That doesn't make it easier, by the way. Just means you have more time to think about it. And so when I did have those accumulation of experiences for planning to evacuate a campus. I'm very fortunate that when I came to North Pinellas, I had an amazing partner too, Jen Seeger, who had evacuated a hospital. So I had probably been in my seat for a month, and Hurricane Ian was coming. And by all estimates, that hurricane was coming right for Tampa. And I remember being up at 3 a.m. reading these news articles about the storm of the century. And I just thought, you got to be kidding me. But that is the defining moment. It was more the moment where you say, well, we've done this before. And so you just lean into the work that has to happen, which is, all right, let's go communicate with everyone we need to possibly talk with. Let's move patients in a way that is overly safe, so they know that when people have to arrive at their destination, which was Advent Health Tampa, they're going to be taken care of well. And let's just make sure we're taking care of people. And so, you know, to me, it's the defining moments never really, it's never really defining moments. It's what's the next thing that's coming and how are we prepared for it? And in that case, it was the work that I'd done before that allowed for the things that happened. But I am under no assertion that wasn't just me. That was an entire team. An entire team that evacuated a hospital and moved everyone back safely inside of a week. And it took a whole team to do it. The thing that was required during that time period, though, was being very visible so that people know that you're there and you're there to help them, and being willing to pick up anything. And lack of sleep, because not much sleep happened over that that time period for me or the team that was supporting them. But ultimately, we did it in a way that was safe for people. And so not a defining moment, but more an example of how the work that you do, and that's what I would encourage anybody who's listening to think about, the work that you do has prepared you for the next task. And so lean into that, because we need your best self if we're going to do this work of caring for people and extending Christ's healing ministry in the communities we serve.
Wonderfully said, Ryan. And that is such a piece of information that we all need to take away, to remember that it's easy to get lost in the monotony of the day to day. But each task, each problem that you solve is building you up to that next step in your life or your career. And I think that's just so encouraging. So thank you for ending on that note. And Ryan, we are so grateful for the time that you took to speak with us today and to share your story. Again, so inspiring, from dishwasher to CEO. That is the career trajectory of a lifetime. And we are so grateful we got to hear the story and that we get to share that with everyone else. So again, thank you to our listeners for listening to the Whole Career Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform to stay up to date with the latest episodes. And if you have any questions or topics you'd like us to cover, feel free to reach out to us on Instagram @Life at Advent Health. Until next time, take care. Thank you, everyone.